Head of Iran's High Council on Human Rights says human rights issue is used as a pretext to attack human culture. Senior commander says Iran plans to boost its air defense capability with new types of radar systems. Anti-regime protesters stage a fresh demonstration in the Bahraini capital Manama ahead of a general strike. Afghan president blames the United States of breaching a pact to hand over the main U.S. military prison to Afghan forces. And northwestern Europe is hit with a late winter snowstorm, leaving thousands of people without electricity and hundreds of others stranded. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iran and English News with me, Nima Chitsaz. The head of Iran's High Council on Human Rights says human rights issue has been used as a pretext to attack human culture. Mohammad Javad Larijani made her remarks in the 22nd regular session of the United Nations Human Rights Council in Geneva, referring to the recent report by the UN Special Rapporteur on the situation of human rights in Iran. He said, "The current invasion of human culture is considered as the greatest crime against humanity." Larijani noted that Iran, as a part of the Muslim community, has a good God-given right to choose its lifestyle based on Islamic tenets and its valuable culture. He also described the recent report as a product of an unconstructive, biased, and unfair measure. Larijani stressed that such measures, from a technical point of view, will only lead to further politicizing the atmosphere of human rights at the UN. The Speaker of the Iranian Majlis of the Parliament in separate messages congratulated new Cuban, Uruguayan, and Slovenian Parliament speakers on election to the post. Ali Larijani's messages underlined the need for expansion of parliamentary relations. He expressed hope that the countries would make use of capacities and capabilities of parliaments to enhance friendly ties. The commander of Khatam al-Anbiya Air Defense Base says Iran plans to boost its air defense capability with new types of radar systems, including satellite detecting radars. Brigadier General Fazal Ismaili said Iran has equipped its air defense units with Qadir Mirsad, Yazahra 3, Misaq 2nd, and Strategic Independent S-200 air defense missiles in the current Iranian year. In February, Iranian Defense Minister Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi said Iran plans to develop different types of radar systems with satellite detecting capabilities. Elsewhere, General Ismaili said his forces have shooed away a U.S. U-2 high-altitude reconnaissance plane seeking to approach the Iranian airspace on February 10, when Iranians were celebrating the anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution. The commander said the plane might have intended to take images and gather intelligence over Iran's southern regions. Syrian army soldiers have killed several foreign-backed militants fighting government forces in the flashpoint city of Aleppo. The army said it killed and wounded many terrorists in the fighting in the district of Khan al-Asal in Aleppo and seized their weapons. Syrian government forces also launched attacks against militants in the governorates of Damascus, Homs, Dara, and Idlib and killed a large number of them. In addition, the Syrian armed forces captured many machine guns, sniper rifles, rocket launchers, handmade rockets, mortar shells, and anti-tank missiles. Syria has been experiencing unrest since mid-March 2011. Many people, including large numbers of security personnel, have been killed in the violence. The Syrian government says the chaos is being orchestrated from outside the country, and there are reports that a very large number of militants are foreign nationals. Anti-regime protesters have staged fresh demonstrations in the Bahraini capital Manama ahead of a general strike in mid-March across the country. Bahraini protesters blocked the capital's main highway with burning tires. The highway is reportedly located near the U.S. Embassy in the Persian Gulf country. The demonstration comes ahead of the planned nationwide strike on March 14, when Bahrainis are expected to take to the streets on the second anniversary of a Saudi-led military intervention in their country. Saudi-led forces were deployed to Bahrain back in 2011 in a bid to assist the Bahraini regime in its crackdown on the peaceful protesters. People in Bahrain have been staging anti-regime demonstrations since mid-February 2011, despite the regime's heavy-handed crackdown and their peaceful protests. Dozens of people have been killed in the regime crackdown, and the security forces have arrested hundreds, including doctors and nurses accused of treating injured revolutionaries. And now a recap of our top stories. Hello, Iran's High Council on Human Rights says human rights issues used as a pretext to attack human culture. Senior commander says Iran plans to boost its air defense capability with new types of radar systems. Anti-regime protesters stage a fresh demonstration in the Bahraini capital Manama ahead of a general strike. Afghan president blames the United States of reaching a pact to hand over the main U.S. military prison to Afghan forces. And northwestern Europe is hit with a late winter snowstorm, leaving thousands of people without electricity and hundreds of others stranded. Afghan president said his government would take over full control of the controversial Bagram prison from U.S. by next week. Hamid Karzai assured a gathering of tribal elders in southern Helmand province that the handover would happen and he is committed to freeing innocent prisoners. Karzai also accused the U.S. of breaching a pact to hand over the main U.S. military prison.
I'm sure you are all aware of the arguments about the handover of Bagram prison. I urge you all to stand with me and say that Karzai is right, and we want to take responsibility of the prison, and those who are innocent should be released. God willing, this demand will be met practically by Saturday or Sunday next week.
Now, the Afghan president also said Pakistan's stability depends on security in Afghanistan. Hamid Karzai once again accused the U.S. and the Taliban of colluding to convince Afghans that foreign forces were needed to maintain peace in the country beyond next year when most foreign combat forces are due to leave.
I believe that Afghanistan and Pakistan need to be friends. This is for the benefit of both countries, and I know that Pakistan's stability depends on security in Afghanistan. Pakistan won't have good days if there is insecurity in Afghanistan, as we see that every day. There is bombing and explosion in Pakistan.
Five U.S. military troops were killed in a helicopter crash in southern Afghanistan. NATO officials confirmed the news, saying all the five killed in Monday crash were Americans. A Taliban spokesperson claimed that the militants had gathered the helicopter with a rocket last August. 11 people, including seven U.S. soldiers, were killed when a Black Hawk chopper crashed in southern Afghanistan.
Yesterday, five ISAF soldiers died following a helicopter crash in southern Afghanistan. The investigation is ongoing. However, early reporting indicates that the crash is not related to any enemy activities.
At least three people, including a senior local election official, have been killed and nearly 20 others injured in two separate attacks in Pakistan. In the first incident on Tuesday, a remote-control bomb targeted a policeman in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province and killed at least two people. The incident also left at least 18 people injured, with some in critical condition. This is while, in another incident, gunmen on motorcycles shot and killed a district election commissioner in the city of Quetta in Pakistan's southwestern Balochistan province. The incident marks the first such attack against election officials ahead of the upcoming parliamentary elections in May. No group has yet claimed responsibility for the attacks, but Pakistani officials put the blame on pro-Taliban militants who have carried out similar assaults in the past. Now, Bolivian president has called for an investigation into the death of the late Venezuelan president Hugo Chavez. After his speech at the UN in Vienna, Evo Morales hinted that he believed Chavez didn't die of natural causes. Morales was speaking to reporters at a news conference in the Austrian capital during his third visit to the UN.
If the imperialists can achieve their goals democratically or with a putsch, and if they can justify their occupation for the people, then they try different methods. That is ending someone's life. Yes, I am convinced that just like Vice President Maduro said, an investigation is needed. President Chavez was only 58 years old and he died so quickly.
Germany's central bank said The Eurozone crisis is not yet over, adding that Europe must address its governmental debt, poor compatibility, and weakness in the regulation of the markets. The German central bank's chief, Jens Weidmann, urged governments to tackle the roots of their troubles with reforms. Germany, Europe's economic powerhouse, expanded robustly during the first 2 years of the Eurozone crisis, but growth slowed last year and the economy shrank by 0.6% in the fourth quarter.
In some cases, national politicians do not give a clear direction. For instance, the reform course in France seems to have floundered. In Italy, it is in question because of the elections. And in Cyprus, the entire situation is not clear. So the crisis is not over.
Northwestern Europe has been hit with a late winter snowstorm, leaving thousands of people without electricity and hundreds of others stranded. Reports say over 68,000 homes were without electricity in France, which was mostly affected. Some 800 others were trapped inside their cars. Frankfurt Airport, Europe's third busiest hub, was reportedly closed while train services between London and Paris were also suspended. Hundreds were also stranded in their cars in Britain. Also in Belgium, snowstorms caused massive traffic disruptions, with cars being backed up hundreds of kilometers on freeways.
Unfortunately, at the moment, the jet stream is stuck to the south of us, so we've got cold air coming off from Scandinavia, Siberia, so we've got an airflow coming right in from the sort of northeast, northerly, and it's bringing that very cold air right across the UK.
I'm supposed to be going on the Eurostar today to get back to London to see my daughter, who's just given birth to twins. But unfortunately, my train was delayed for a long time, and so now the Eurostar has also been cancelled. So now I am stuck.
I knew there was quite a lot of snow outside, so I thought I'd come here earlier. And got here about 11, and about 12 o'clock, they informed us there are no trains running at all. So now I'm pretty much stuck.
We've got that biting wind chill as well. It's making it feel more like -5 to -7. So it's really bitterly cold out there. It's particularly a problem for the elderly, the very young, and those with respiratory problems. We do have a cold weather alert in force, warning people to wrap up warm, and if you do have illnesses, to stick indoors.
And before wrapping up, here's an item for those of you who have lack of sleep. According to researchers from the University of Colorado, sleeping in a mere 5 hours a night during a work week with unlimited access to snacks isn't good for your waistline and can add up to 1 kilo to your body mass in 2 weeks. Previous studies have shown that a lack of shut eye can lead to the packing on of pounds, but the reasons for the extra weight were unclear. A separate study last month said sleep deficit, even just a week's worth, can have damaging effect on our genes. Lack of adequate shut eye had already been linked to conditions from heart disease and cognitive impairment to obesity. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of iRyan in English News. Join us tomorrow for the latest updates. Till then, take care and have a very great time. Goodbye now.